Welcome to What is Going Om, for new thought from the edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgebeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgebeer.
Hello. There can't be many things that could stop America in its tracks, but Monday's solar eclipse certainly had the entire nation turning its attention heavenward to witness the first total solar eclipse to be visible across a band of the contiguous USA in 99 years. With the entire country caught up in eclipse mania, and predictions ranging from the beginning of the end of Donald Trump's presidency to unprecedented earthquakes and tsunamis to alien visitations and the unveiling of the Antichrist, I invited BBC TV and radio astrologer Alison Chester Lambert to share her own astrological observations, insights and predictions about the Great American Eclipse. What it all means and what we can expect in the weeks and months ahead. Alison Chester Lambert, welcome.
Hello. Hi, Sandy. It's great to be here.
Good to have you back on the show, and my apologies for keeping you up so late at night in England.
It's only Friday morning. Don't worry about it.
Proving there's no such thing as time. So, Alison, in ancient times, solar eclipses, well, all eclipses really, were seen as supernatural events, often as signs of impending disaster. In the days leading up to this week's Great American Eclipse, as many are calling it, I found several contradictory references. Some fell into the everything that happens during and around eclipses is fatal in nature camp, while others seem to indicate that eclipses offer unique opportunities to adjust one's life and destiny. So which is it?
Okay, I suppose eclipses have, well, they come with a lot of history. Yes, we could start there. In fact, it's possibly because the ancients wanted to find out when eclipses were going to happen that they did strenuous work in terms of astronomy, mathematics, the building of the great observatories with huge standing stones, etc. It was very important for them to know about eclipses. And for them, they predicted the fall of nations and the fall of leaders, etc. But when you think about it, it probably is one of the, probably the greatest sky spectacle that there is. I can't think of anything else that causes such a huge jolt to our senses. When you think about it, it invokes actually sort of primordial fear, knee-jerk reactions in us to watch an eclipse. And so we have this massive effect psychologically. So I guess for that reason, they're very important. But in terms of astrology, this eclipse got tangled up with something I think is far more potent, and that is our old friend, the Uranus-Pluto square, which has now been in the sky for something like 5 years. But coincidentally, as we get the eclipse fever, we also got the planet Venus moving through the sky and making up something called a grand cross with five other planets tangled up in the Uranus-Pluto square. Now, this seems to have kind of, that seems to have kind of got lost, that message, in all the eclipse fever. But I think we have to bring that those planets and that grand cross into the frame if we're going to be talking about significant long-term changes, shifts in consciousness, etc. Because if we're going to be honest, we can get up to five or six solar eclipses a year. We get two eclipse seasons, and each of those can have two eclipses, maybe three sometimes. And so an eclipse isn't as rare as we think it is. The only thing that made this one so special was it hit landfall in the States for so long and stretched from continent to continent. Now, normally eclipses glance off the side of the earth, hit water. It's rare for them to concentrate on the land so many people can see it. But does that change the quality of the eclipse because so many people saw it? Does it have the same value if it just falls in the Pacific and nobody sees it? You see what I'm saying? The jury's out for me.
Well, the thing about eclipses is that nobody really understands exactly what's happening. Obviously, we see the moon or the sun being eclipsed, but there's a lot going on behind all of that, the gravitational waves, etc., that are actually having an effect on our bodies. And everybody I spoke to certainly felt a bit weird. But is that psychosomatic? Is it because they're expecting to feel something?
I actually think our nervous systems are getting more and more sensitive to the movements around the Earth's atmosphere. So electromagnetic field lines, and as you say, gravitational corridors and gravitational bow waves are the result of eclipses. Those things are messed up by eclipses, rather. And I think that more and more our nervous systems are becoming attuned to that. So, for instance, a lot of people were complaining about a headache or a fuzzy feeling in their stomach, their nerves being jangled. Now, this is fairly typical of very high solar activity. So if we get a really strong solar wind hitting us or a coronal mass ejection, then it's starting to become obvious via Facebook that these things are having an effect on our nervous systems. Now, it would be strange if they didn't, because the whole of the animal kingdom responds to changes in the electromagnetic environment. And we know that those changes occur because we can see the aurora. So the aurora is simply a visual display of the ionization of particles around the Earth. So it would be, I suppose, sort of silly, really, to imagine that we are immune to this stuff. But I think we've kind of been through a period, kind of like, you know, the Dark Ages, where we haven't opened ourselves up to it. We closed off to it and we opened ourselves up to TV instead. But it seems we're taking a return into our nervous systems responding to this stuff. So it's I got the headache, and it's annoying to get the headache, but it's also quite gratifying to think, hey, I'm in tune with the cosmos here. I've got the headache.
Well, I didn't get a headache. What I got was just the strangest feeling, almost of, and very unusual for me, a sort of internal shakiness for a few seconds and almost tearfulness. And I had no idea where that came from. You know, I wasn't expecting it. I was just observing everything, you know, with great curiosity and amusement. And so when that arose for me, it was a little unsettling.
I did a straw poll on Facebook, actually, and I asked people whether they thought the eclipse had changed anything for them. Did they notice a difference from one day to the next? And rather interestingly, 24 people responded that they felt more deflated, that they felt more negative the next day. 22 people said they felt uplifted and enlightened, and 4 people said they felt nothing. I think what we can get from that is that changes happen. There is a shift in the atmosphere. And I think what we also have to remember is just we had the eclipse, and then the next day the sun fell into Virgo from Leo. So we went from a sun in fire and a moon in fire very quickly into a sun and moon in Earth. And I think we also have to take that into account. So people with a lot of Earth will maybe have felt warmed and comforted by the new earthy environment. People with a lot of fire may have felt, etc. Do you see what I mean? According to the elements in our own chart, we may respond to that shift from fire to Earth. But it could be something like that as well. There's too many things going on last week for us to take an eclipse and say, this is the cause of everything.
Yeah, I was intrigued when you and I spoke earlier in the week about, you said that somebody is now actually studying the psychology of eclipses and confirming that they really do affect our consciousness.
Absolutely, yeah. This is a new branch of research, actually, in psychology, the effect of eclipses. And one of the lead scientists in this is actually becoming rather addicted to eclipses. It started just with something casual, and now she cannot leave an eclipse alone. If there's an eclipse, she's there, sort of thing. She has likened to the reactions in the body. She's taken sensory measurements and likened the reaction in a body to the flight and fright, to survival. It hits a raw nerve in our DNA and lights up something which goes way back, you know, into our survival instincts. You can't deny, even if you sort of don't believe in the spiritual, you cannot deny the physical scientific evidence, which is now coming out about the effects of eclipses on our psyches and our unconscious.
Now, I know that you put out a call amongst your extensive Facebook following, for people to give you all of the strange predictions that they'd read about or seen posted on the internet. What were some of the strangest?
Well, pretty much as you were saying earlier, actually. So you practically could have read the list yourself, and it's so predictable. So we definitely got the end of the world prediction, and we got also that spaceships would come closer to Earth and would reveal themselves. We got shifts in consciousness, etc. And of course, we got the prediction that Trump would fall.
Well, that didn't happen. And I don't think we had any Arcturian spaceships landing or reports of them.
No, we didn't. But it's lovely that people, I think, get fired up by a sky event, and it fires up their image of what a big event is. I love people's creativity around this. I think Trump himself must have known the predictions about the fall of his leadership, because the symbolism is there, really. I mean, I think he tweeted something to do with the eclipse and put his own picture over Obama, saying he's eclipsing Obama. So it's almost as if he was stating that, you think I'm going to be eclipsed? No, I eclipsed Obama instead. So I think he must have heard the rumours that he was about to fall. Maybe that's why he appeared on the balcony and showed himself at the time.
Thumb in his nose. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and my guest is BBC and Daily Mail online astrological consultant Alison Chester Lambert, and we're talking about the solar eclipse that occurred earlier this week. We'll be back with more from Alison after the break.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
My name is Meera Batra, and this is How I Live United. Many families have come to America for a better life. I advocate for these families with United Way. United Way empowers them to see opportunities available. We help them get involved with their kids, schools, and network within the community. My name is Meera Batra. I help families see opportunity and succeed. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, Alison Chester Lambert. Let's talk about some of those predictions. You know, forget the Arcturian spaceships, but let's look at, there was one astrologer who's been on this show, actually, who was talking about, to me privately, something coming out of Buckingham Palace around the week of the eclipse. She didn't know whether it meant something negative, something positive, but she felt that there would be news to do with Princess Diana because she saw a link between this eclipse and the eclipse that occurred, I think it was the year before Diana died. What did you find there?
Ah, very interesting. Well, I've got to agree with that astrologer, to be honest with you, because I live in the UK and when we're hearing about it, it's on our news. The 20th anniversary of Diana's death is approaching. And to mark this, her two sons, William and Harry, got together with the production team and made a video to celebrate their mother's life. And so she's very much on the table again in the news, etc. We're seeing lots of images of her. And of course, this is such poignant memories. Interesting. But there's something else as well, actually, because I pulled up Diana's chart when I heard of this. And in actual fact, that eclipse happened right on, for the astrologers here, happened right on Princess Diana's north node, 29 degrees of Leo. So I'll just explain what that means. The North Node in anybody's chart is the part of it's a karmic place. It's not a planet. It's where the moon path crosses with the sun path. And the amount of extraordinary energy at that point, because you get all the electric magnetic field lines crossing, you get gravitational waves colliding, and you get so much energy colliding into chaos, it rips open space-time. And so at that particular part in anybody's chart, you've got this very kind of karmic energy which can magnify things and also speaks of future lives or the energy which you will have on the other side. Now, it's difficult for me to explain because on the other side, there is no time. So it could be future, could be past. It's just different. It's another time zone, if you like, another dimension is the best way to put it. So for an eclipse to occur on her north node, it says that something of Diana's karma is suddenly snapshotted, if you like, into the collective, that there is a click moment and whoosh, something comes through. So very interesting that, you know, that's exactly what we're getting.
Right now. Interesting, isn't it? Because her sons are definitely, picking up their mother's baton, and they're talking about mental health. They're talking about all of the things that were dear to her and carrying on her good work.
Yeah. It's so sad, really. It's very poignant, really. It's sad because they've grown up largely without their mother. 20 years since her death. Their lives now have been longer without her than with her. But everybody's chart continues after their death. So you can go to Diana's chart and it will talk to you about whether or not she's in the news and what she's in the news for. So, and I always take heart from this. I look into America right now and I see something quite distressing in terms of how terribly divided it is. It's polarizing incredibly. And it's almost as if America has to go through something. Commentators were referring to the Civil War last week about how the Civil War hasn't really come to a conclusion, how the issues around it are being brought up again in America. And I look at all of that stuff and I think, wow, America, you clearly have to go through something here. Maybe all of the dark stuff is coming up. Trump is a very good hook to hang a lot of stuff onto in that case. I'm kind of interested in the fact that he may not be done with yet. The cosmos, which is ultimately sort of guiding things here, may not quite yet have finished with him in terms of the place that America must go to or seems to want to go to. But there's a collective thing at work here, a collective movement, which is unstoppable in terms of the derision and the divisiveness. It's breathtaking to see it on Facebook. I'm astonished at people who are involving themselves in conversations which are so vitriolic, and it just takes my breath away sometimes. And I'm thinking, gosh. Now, I think probably this is all part of this larger Uranus-Pluto square. Certainly when you get dark issues coming out of the collective underworld, when you get this expansion of really masculine. I mean, there's way too much masculine energy going around at the moment, not enough feminine. And the masculine or air energy has been too dominant for too long, and now it's being fanned by a fire spiritual masculine energy as well. So it's almost as if it has to play out, and Trump is part one of the players in this. And if he wasn't there, then who else would take his place? It's almost as if America has to play something out here.
You know, right from the beginning, and I think you and I have discussed this before in the Cosmic Buzz, I always felt that Trump was the Molotov cocktail, you know, being thrown into the system to pull it all apart. Do you see him as a sacrificial lamb?
I don't think anybody would attribute the word lamb to him, but I see what you're saying. I think he could be part of the bigger issue of what America has to draw up from its unconscious. There is a shadow being released here. I mean, we spoke on a Cosmic Buzz recording that we did a while ago on our YouTube channel, and I actually said on that, the gates of Hades are being flung wide open here. We have to wait. The gates of Hades are being flung wide open here. We have to wait and see what's going to emerge into the collective. And we're certainly getting a good idea. I mean, Trump's image, his stamp is on America now, whether he goes or not. We cannot un-Trump America, right? America has been Trumped, and we can't un-Trump America. The loosened boundaries which he has represented, you know, this very unpolitically correct attitude that he has loosened an awful lot of America's politically correct niceness. And I mean, some of it is not pleasant to witness, but it's happened. And whether he fell tomorrow or not, I think his legacy would carry on.
Well, you know, I mean, the eclipse didn't just happen to America. It must affect the rest of the world. And we're seeing a lot of divisiveness in Britain as well, and in Europe. I mean, across the world completely. So how far reaching is this eclipse and the effects of it, and what's happening with the planets at the moment?
I don't think the eclipse is responsible for anything as we go forward now. I think, you know, anything that did happen in it, right, and there are all issues to be cleaned up. But I don't see the eclipse as being involved in what we're walking towards now. I see this transiting T-square with Pluto taking up one corner, Eris and Uranus in another corner, Jupiter and Homer in the third corner. Venus has only just got to her exact square with Uranus this afternoon. I see this as the big mover and the big contributor to what's going to happen right through September, right up to the 1st of October. This T-square is going to have enormous power over us. And we will, I believe, see its stamp. I mean, one of the things that you can always look to and tell, that there's a particular symbolism around this. Tragically, there is a particular symbolism, and that's isolated terrorist attacks, usually from lone operators who may or may not have affiliations to terrorist organizations. When we get those, you can tell that the Uranus-Pluto square is in power, that, you know, that's what's running things at the time. And we're still getting those. Social, political and cultural unrest, which is enhanced by the social media tools we have. This is all part of the signature of this Uranus-Pluto square, the release of dark issues, the raising of consciousness, expansion, which is going too fast for the feminine and the earth and nature. So empathy and natural resources and our casualties. I think this is what we have to look to. I don't get the eclipse anymore. For me, it's like, well, that's done.
You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with BBC and Daily Mail online astrologer Alison Chester Lambert about what we can expect in the wake of the recent solar eclipse. We'll be back with more insights, observations and predictions from Alison Chester Lambert after this break.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo. We were a loving family, and then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything. I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Alison Chester-Lambert, you talked before the break about the Uranus-Pluto square and the transit in T-square. Now, the Uranus-Pluto square has been around for a long time. Many people felt that that was what was triggering the whole thing around 2012, and that it would actually trigger the dawning of a new golden age. What we've seen since then is far from being a new, you know, golden age. Are these two astrological configurations warring with one another? Are they, you know, competing against one another? Because we seem to have, as you said, this rising consciousness, and at the same time we have all of this, you know, these dark issues rising from the underworld as well. So what is happening there?
I think what we're witnessing is chaos. I think if we look at just Uranus, Pluto on their own, and just forget the other three planets, four planets that are there at the moment, what we're looking at there is the collision of masculine and feminine in terms of the polarities. Now add in Jupiter and Eris and Homer and Venus, as we have had for the last week, and you've got contributing to the chaos, you've just got more chaos. So I think we really have but something to remember about chaos is that it's very nutritious, if I may say that. It's like taking a giant hand and swirling up a huge pond, and so you're swirling all of the mud from the bottom of the pond, and it's all rising up, and the water's all getting muddy, and the water's getting choppy. Now, at that point, you're also bringing up all the little insects and grubs from the bottom of the pond, and the fish can have a feeding frenzy. It's bringing up and changing everything and shifting stuff around so that there is new stuff to grow on. There are new things to grab. So I think we have to see it like that. One of the interesting things, I'm going to just sort of like give some symbolism about this eclipse, and the very masculine type energy which is going on at the moment. What we saw last Monday was a non-political event that brought a bitterly divided nation together. Everybody stood together. Nobody knew if they were had a Trump supporter or a Trump denier next to them. They just all shared in something which was quite spectacular. And I think that the eclipse of the masculine, which that it symbolized, because the sun is a masculine energy planet, it's a fire planet. The eclipse of that masculine energy allowed for a moment the feminine to be stronger. So the feminine attributes of drawing people together was allowed to play out that day. And I think that's lovely. And then the next day, you know, we drop back into the Uranus-Pluto square again, and all of this chaos and this extremeness that it seems to engender.
What we're going through, this chaotic period, Is it chaos designed to change things permanently, or is it a chaotic period and things will then, you know, settle back into some semblance of a normality that we might recognize?
I think it's a time of extraordinary growth, because one energy is pushing the other one and stimulating it. And it's this enormous growth which produces this masculine style energy. You've got a lot of action. As soon as you get action, then you're looking at masculine energy. The feminine energy is much more reclusive, much calmer, gentler. It's more interior. Masculine energy is more exterior. So I think we've got a lot of growth going on. It will therefore be a testing time, because we're required to let go of things. Now, it's always fine if somebody says, well, let go of your preconceptions and accept a raising of consciousness or grow into a higher vibration. So all of the spiritual people will go, oh, yes, I'll happily let go of my earthly anchors for that one. But when we're asked to let go of an era, now, what I'm looking at really with two of these particular planets in particular. So I'm looking at the fact that we've got Uranus and Haumea opposite each other. So now these two big outer heavyweights are almost talking about the emergence of something which all the pundits were predicting for the eclipse. It's like a new age. If I just take just the mythological aspects of Uranus and Haumea. So Haumea is the earth, the fecund earth, literally, that's it. Uranus is the sky god. So we take the image of the sky god coming down to lay on Haumea, the earth, just, you know, old Greek mythology. She's fecund and she gives birth to babies, but he keeps eating them. However, clever Haumea will work with one baby for its survival. This is in Greek mythology. This deity will eventually overthrow the old regime of Uranus, and a new age will begin, the age of Zeus or Kronos. And I see that as having an awful lot of importance at the moment. Now, we get a big chance to work on this through to November. And then in November in particular, we get to finalize the results of just those two planets, Uranus and Haumea, next February. So I think we are looking at new age, end of an era, beginning of a new era, for us individually, as well as collectively in nations, the end of Brexit. Don't know what's happening in America. I think we've yet to see what's ending and what's beginning, but I think it's very much about that. That's what I get anyway.
You talked to me before about Saturn going into Capricorn, its own sign, and how massive that is. And you said that when Pluto went into Capricorn, we had the massive crash in 2008. We seem to be facing a lot of financial, industrial, all kinds of breakdowns right now looming in front of us, but we've faced them so many times in recent years. You know, what's to say that there's not going to be just another recovery or another papering over of the cracks?
That's right. Yes, it is right. Maybe we're just getting better at avoiding the iceberg.
The inevitable.
We sit here on the Titanic, rubbing our eyes once more, another iceberg looms. We're getting terribly good at making right-hand turns very quickly. Saturn's moving to Capricorn. This is quite big. Out of the big six outer planets, let's say we've got six, I could argue more, but let's say this is the big six everybody knows about, four of them are moving zodiac signs in the next year, right? So this is quite big. So we've got Jupiter going into Scorpio on the 11th of October, and we've got Saturn going into Capricorn on December the 21st, bang on the solstice. We've got Chiron moving into Aries in April, Uranus moving into Taurus in May. But just looking at Saturn going into Capricorn. So if Capricorn represents things like banking, government and industry, and Saturn always brings testing, always brings a regime of testing, austerity testing. So straight away, what we're saying is that when Saturn moves into Capricorn on the 21st of December, First of all, it's going to move in there with the sun, so it'll be fine for a day or two because the sun's a very positive planet. But then when the sun moves on and we get into the new year, Saturn will then set about testing the structures of banking, government, industry in the same way that Pluto did back in 2008. And then actually Saturn works its way through Capricorn and gets to a conjunction with Pluto in 2020. That year is just going to be phenomenal. We need to start creating a 2012 image to 2020 now. We need a new end of the world scenario. But anyway, just going to this year, yeah, Saturn going into Capricorn. I think that's massive. I don't think Saturn's comfy there because he's thinking, oh, this is my own zodiac sign. I'm dead comfy. I think he goes in and tests Capricorn in the same way that he tests all zodiac signs. But the Capricorn is tough, it's able to take on the breaking up and the breaking down. And Saturn is comfortable with that rather than as thinking, oh, Capricorn's going to be fine because Saturn's used to it and it won't break anything down. No, I think it will. I think we're going to be looking at the testing. Don't think we get away from it.
Well, when we look at Saturn and we look at Capricorn, you know, all the key words that go with both of them, I mean, it can be heavy. It, you know, Saturn's the great teacher. Capricorn's the hard worker. Seems to be a lot of austerity in there. Do you foresee, as many people are suggesting, a huge breakdown of the financial systems?
This has been muted and talked about for so long, hasn't it? And for every single year that it has been talked about, we have had the Uranus-Pluto square in the sky. And so I'm going to say that that is a significator for this particular issue. And I'm going to say that although Pluto and Uranus are very wide of each other at the moment, they do come closer together later on in the year. And it only takes a small planet like Venus just scurrying through that particular cross to waken the whole thing up again. Hence, we've had a horrible rash of suicides and terrorist attacks, etc. It only takes something to connect them all up again. You only got to get one planet in there that rushes through, but it connects them up and they go off again. And also, we've got these, Jupiter is in there at the moment, and it's, you know, it has been for a while, and that's firing it all up. So I'm going to say that, yeah, the financial crashes, yes, I'm aware of the fact that there's been many commentators have said it's on the edge, it's about to go. And I've got to agree, yeah, it looks like it is. But I'm not daft enough to say it will do, because then my reputation will be out the window. So I'm just going to say that, whoa, it's looking close.
You're not normally afraid to put yourself on the line and stick your neck out and make a prediction. Why this time?
Yeah, well, it's because I've got a Saturn transit going on, so I'm really cautious at the moment.
Okay. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with professional astrologer and founder of the Midland School of Astrology in the UK, Alison Chester Lambert. We're speaking about what America, and indeed the world, can look forward to in the wake of the recent solar eclipse. We'll be back after this break.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Spiritual, metaphysical, green living, psychic, alternative healing, life coaching. Do any of these or similar terms apply to your business or cause? If so, you are in a niche market with a very specific audience. Conscious Gate PR is the world's leading conscious public relations agency. With a global reach of over 4 million and growing, we offer comprehensive media campaigns to our targeted market. Learn more at ConsciousGatesPR.com. Conscious marketing for conscious minds.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
If you own a gun, you have a full-time responsibility. When you aren't using it, be sure it can't get into the hands of curious children, troubled teenagers, a thief, or anyone else who might misuse it. Your family, friends, and neighbors are all counting on you. Remember, always lock it up. For more information on firearm storage safety, visit ncpc.org. This message brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council, the Bureau of Justice Assistance, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Alison Chester-Lambert, what about the good news? What can you tell us?
Good news?
Is there any?
You can tell by my hollow laughter, can't you? Right, good news. Okay, I remember talking to you back in January about this year, and I said then, and I'm going to keep saying it, this is a year when Saturn squares Chiron. This is going to be a depressing year. Let's just don't take that on. Now, I can turn that into good news. I can talk to us all about how deeply rooted emotional, psychological threats and beliefs will emerge for healing. And I can talk to us about how the Uranus-Pluto square is bringing change, new eras into your lives. And we should embrace the future and embrace the light and everything, right? Okay. Now, in reality, I've got a full client list at the moment of people who are struggling with the good news and need help with it, because we're kind of overwhelmed a little. And I suppose it's good news that we are wanting to reach out and to better ourselves and to grow spiritually, to learn from the things around us, to transform and transmute and grow into something, happy people, you know, who are well adjusted and wise, and that's all great, but we've still got Saturn Chiron hit, one last Saturn Chiron hit, which will happen at the beginning of November, and so I think that the good news is that we get one more opportunity to deal with our inadequacies, our self-doubts, our anxieties. I bet everybody's turned off now, haven't they?
Well, honestly, I mean, one good thing about all of this is that, you know, when we see the light at the end of the tunnel, we're really going to appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, actually, all jokes aside, this is a year, actually, when we are making significant progress. Now, we could look at, you know, a few little things that it might irritate a few people, sort of, you know, the Trump thing, the Brexit thing, etc. You know, there's we're going back into war in certain places, etc. Yeah, okay. But are we heading upwards? Yes, we are. I do think we are. It would be easy to just say we're going nowhere, we're going round in circles. Actually, I do believe that we are growing. I do believe that we are gaining in wisdom. And pain and gain for me are proportional, right? So when we have the pain that exists for a lot of people right now, and I am sympathetic about that, then I have to remind people that there is an equivalent in gain, that they are growing in wisdom, that the cosmos does not hand out pain without you earning something. We're told in mythology that you earn the coins that will go under the tongue as you make your way across the river Styx to the underworld. And so you're earning your gold coins. So when you make your journey, you have the appropriate wisdom to pay back. And you're paying back that wisdom into the collective unconscious, and it's being reborn again in new ones. And we are doing a heck of a lot at the moment to raise consciousness, get the level of higher thinking to raise that as well. So I am pleased with what we're doing, and I do feel encouraged by it. But at the same time, I do look at some aspects of it and I think, ooh, there's some more growing to do there, isn't there?
Well, there always is, isn't there?
Yeah.
When you're looking at the astrology, how far out do you go? I mean, you mentioned 2020 earlier. Do you look at it on a really long-term basis, or do you confine your research, you know, to near future?
If we go back a few years, Sandy, I never look past a month. This is strange, really. It's almost an expanded consciousness, sort of like invites an expanded view. You want to look further and longer. You get asked to look further and longer. Now, as 2012 approached, so 2006, certainly talk of that, you know, was reaching astrologers and getting out into the mind, body, spirit market and the metaphysical market ahead of time. But we didn't really start to jump all over it until about 2010, did we? Now, it's almost as if that looking ahead a few years has become the norm now. Now, I remember being asked for a TV show recently. They were looking ahead 10 years, and I was thinking, 10 years? But I did the astrology for the 10 years, and it actually helped, because what I could see was that we are looking at bigger time frames, but there is more of I can get more of an understanding of where we're headed when we include these bigger time frames. Now, we discovered the Kuiper Belt and all the planets in the Kuiper Belt on the extreme edges of our solar system right at the beginning of this millennium. And that really, the imagery and the discoveries gave us the metaphor for increased consciousness, looking further, looking over more years, looking over bigger time spans, and taking in greater consciousness, so that the smallness of the grain in the sand, if you like, suddenly starts to include a mile of the stuff, and that it can only be good for us. But the imagery for that is all around us, and I'm being asked more and more for longer time spans, and I've found I get better answers, and it helps me to feel calmer about the future when I do that. But yeah, I go back to when I first started to do astrology, just before the turn of the millennium, and definitely I never looked forward more than 3 months.
So let's just go back to the political situation, because obviously it affects so much of our lives. I mean, you know, in England, they're still facing Brexit. You know, May's not doing very well. There's a lot of divisiveness going on. In America, there's many people wanting Trump out and Pence in, which, you know, from where I sit, is just, you know, you're exchanging the devil you know for the devil you don't. And that's always a big mistake, as America has learned many times. What do you see happening there in the next few years? I mean, do you think Trump is going to complete his term?
I seriously mean this. I honestly don't know. I really don't know. I think it's back to this thing about even if he goes, you can't un-Trump America. He's opened the gates of Hades, and they're sort of wide open now, and everything's pouring out. It really depends on how long America needs him to be there. Now, I know there's many people who are going to be tutting and going, oh, for Christ's sake, not what you're talking about. But I think I'm looking at the bigger picture, and I'm asking the audience to just stay with me for a moment. Just step outside of your personal opinions and look at the bigger picture. Is change happening in America? Is stuff coming up and out of America's inner psyche? Are things coming up? If people are discussing Civil War stuff, is there stuff that is in America's shadow that does need to come up for healing? And if so, like him or loathe him, there is somebody there who is a hook to hang it on, somebody there who is a convenient mouthpiece at the moment, who is highly unusual, let's face it, and is different, we could say that. why has America got this at this time? And has it finished with it yet? I don't think so. When you look at America's charter, there's a particular transit going on at the moment, which is going to be there for longer yet. It's intensifying at the moment, and it will wind up, in the next few months. But it doesn't mean to say that Trump's going to go then. But what it's saying to me is there is something to come up and come out. America is in growth pains. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's good for America. I'm quite comfortable with it all. But I understand and I do sympathize terribly with the people who are in such distress over it. And I'm trying to help them understand it because that might help to alleviate their pain.
You know, back in 2010, I interviewed Diana Cooper, who is Britain's Doreen Virtue. She'd written a book about... Yeah. 2012, and she was, from her channeled information, was projecting forward to the next 20 years or more, and she talked about Britain having to go through karmic period. Britain had raped and pillaged the world in its past, and now it had this massive immigration problem, and that was karma. And America too has had its, the stains on its own history, and it needs to look at those. Do you see us reaching a place where we will create a more equitable society, that we will develop more compassion and inclusiveness for one another? Because right now we're just seeing it go, completely. It's like a chasm is forming, and a big one.
I think we can get better at it. My problem with seeing the eradication of anger, bitterness, jealousy, hatred, is that astrology describes them. So we would have to remove some of our zodiac signs and planets if we were to eradicate that very violent or evil streak that can exist in our society and show itself from time to time. Because astrology encompasses and encloses it, because we have planets which can express violence, we have a zodiac sign which talks of the underworld and dark issues, they're always going to be there. I think we can take them through to a more higher expression, a better expression. But I think as long as we need to recreate ourselves after the waters rise, so let's just take metaphorically, waters rise, everything, Noah's Ark, and the waters go down again. We need to be able, human beings need to be able to be violent, to kill an animal, eat it raw, to exist. And I think the evilness and the violence exists in that, the will to survive, which can get pretty violent. And as long as that's there, embedded in psyche, I think we're stuck with that.
Alison Chester-Lambert, thank you for joining us today. I'm sorry we don't have, a golden period to look forward to immediately, but we'll come back to you and hopefully you'll tell us when we might see something better. Alison Chester-Lambert is the founder of the Midland School of Astrology in the UK and the author of two books on astrology and the best-selling astrology reading cards. For more information about her or to book a private session, visit alisonchesterlambert.com. I'm Sandy Sedgebeer. Thanks for joining me today, and I look forward to being with you at the same time next week. Till then, it's goodbye from me.